All right. All right. Sorry, we had a bit of technical difficulties at the start. As per always, I hope you guys can hear me on the Twitter Spaces. We did a Twitter Space earlier and there were issues. But yeah, we're going to hopefully just power through this. If not, we'll be sending out the Twitter broadcast link very, very shortly. Or you can find us on YouTube or wherever else we're streaming this. But this is Rec Radio episode 58. We got Kyle Chassé. Is that how you say your second name?
Yep.
Chassé coming on with us. KBM is scuba diving in the Caribbean right now. Good life being KBM. So we just got OSF with us today. But yeah,
just got OSF. Cheers.
Just got OSF, who looks about 18. Let's be honest. Like, he's had a shave. He's really knocked off the years. But yeah, do you want to start with our sponsor? I don't know if you can actually talk about them giving you look under 18, but yeah, why don't you go with our sponsors for the week?
Yeah. Hey guys, as you know, this show is sponsored by Rollbit. So check out rollbit.com for all your degenerate trading and gambling needs. As usual, we'll have two codes to give away and we will end the show with another loot box spin. The first code is Chassé Moon 92. Make sure you check out Twitter video for watching this video. We're also on YouTube, Spotify, Instagram, TikTok, and all that kind of stuff. I still don't really know who manages that stuff, but we're on there, I think.
I don't think we're on TikTok. Are we?
Apparently we're on TikTok. Are we on TikTok? I don't know.
I think
we'll check with the intern afterwards.
I don't know. I don't know what I've been doing on TikTok, but I haven't been aware of it. Are you on TikTok, Kyle? I know you're all over the video, right? You have the full setup. You're huge on YouTube. Like, are you everywhere?
No. See, the problem is that, like, I would like to be, but I'm not a full-time content creator. And I think that, yeah, so it's hard for me to do this. It's hard for me to actually make YouTube videos and the X account and things like that, because I do run multiple companies and have a lot on the plate. So I think that probably it's a mistake not putting more attention in TikTok. And maybe we will go down that path soon, but not yet. I mean, I do have an account there, but and at one point we were doing stuff, but I think it hasn't been updated in a while.
Oh, we do. Look at us. One follower. Wow. Let's up this. Come on.
That's a tragic, tragic TikTok account.
It looks like a scammy account. Like Rect Radio 4. Yeah, we need to up our TikTok game for sure. Anyway, look, yeah, I agree with you. It's we are similar sort of vibe. Like, we have a few different projects in the space. Weirdly, running the media side of stuff or doing the podcast and all that sort of stuff and creating content, really, it's just the glue that holds everything else together. It, like, really helps us with, like, seeing new deals, picking up on new trends, like, speaking to interesting people. Like, we've, at the start, it felt like maybe a bit more effort, but as increasingly as we've been doing it, it's so useful for us in so many different things. I'm sure that's the same for you. Like, you must just feel like it really does help with everything else you do.
Yeah. That's the thing is that I kind of encourage a lot of people to do it, even if it's only, like, if you're going to go full-time crypto, which I made a video a couple weeks ago with Ran about it. And I think that if people are thinking about going that path, like, now is the time to do it, right? Like, right now, not like, and if you've been thinking about it for a while, just maybe stop thinking and just do it. Even if that means, you know, if you don't have the full-time capability to do that, if you still have to work an 8-hour job, like, you got 24 hours in a day, work your 8-hour job, work another 8-hour job going full-time crypto, and then, you know, sleep for yourself. Yeah, to your point, I think that is exactly, it helps me a lot because we build different things in the space, right? And so, you know, we have a VC, we build, and then we have the content and media. And so being able to stay in the loop of what's going on at all times, upcoming narratives, you know, it really, really helps a lot to see how things are evolving and to make sure that as a builder, we're staying competitive and innovative. And then as an investor, that we're able to see, you know, down the path and see what kind of, where the narratives will be shifting and what kind of things are going to be. We have a little bit of a crystal ball to see in the future, if you will.
Yeah, 100%. Just want to interject slightly because I think the Twitter Spaces is not working as kind of predicted. So if you need to find us, I guess any people can hear this, you can either see us on the broadcast link, which I think Obi and myself have just tweeted out, and then, or you can come onto the on the various other forms. YouTube, I think, is the main way we're streaming it at the moment. So apologies for that, but that is not an us thing. That is a Twitter thing. It's been going on for the last 24 hours. Hopefully, hopefully they fix it soon.
Some people on my team said that they can hear it. That's very strange. I just asked some people on my team if they could hear. They said yes. So maybe it worked for some people.
Maybe it works for some people. Yeah, it's been. I did a podcast just before this, and it was the same thing. So
X on desktop seems to be working. I guess maybe not on mobile or something. I'm not sure.
Yes, this is what I've heard. So if that's the other thing, you can go onto desktop and you can hear it, but on mobile spaces are not working. So either find us on the broadcast link that we tweeted out, or go onto X on desktop. So yeah, I kind of came across you maybe 18 months ago. Like, you were producing content and like you seem very enthused about the crypto space. Like, you were really really into the picking up of the bull trend. And then obviously you're a bit of an altcoin gem finder as well. So like, I've been following a lot of your content recently for like all the different things you think is gonna come up this cycle. Altcoin season seems to be here. It also seems to have been going on for a while. Like, altcoins had some wild moves. Where do you see like the main trends going here? What are you looking at the moment in terms of the thing that you think is going to carry the next bit of a cycle? What are you interested in at the moment?
So I like I think that it's hard, but I think that because we invest across a broad scope of things from an investment perspective, and then if you're talking about like small cap gems, then that's kind of really exciting because you have a lot of devs that come, and that's kind of and a reason that's kind of why I have this kind of like, I don't know if you want to call it like a guilty pleasure or like, you know, like of finding small cap gems, because oftentimes they're devs who build something pretty cool, and weren't able to raise a bunch of funding, or they didn't, you know how to raise a bunch of funding. So they just put out a product and then they needed some support with like visibility. So I do enjoy finding these things that like really cool products and then try to help, bring people to the attention. But sometimes it's just literally something to do with like, it might pump, right? And then short term, like if I think that it's got good fundamentals, we discovered Shido when it was like 15 million market cap or something like that. And that just seemed like I didn't have to do a bunch of deep dive due diligence to figure out that narrative, no matter what, was going to be something that was going to pump really hard. So I just saw that this is like a, something that has on the same sort of caliber as Say, for example, and was a Cosmos layer one with a Dox team that was trading, did a fair launch that was trading between 15 to 20 million. And now it's at like 80 million or something, you know, after I covered it. So it just depends. And then you got things like Banana Gun, which I talked about before it even launched. And so I like things that also you can tell clearly that they have a good business model. And then to see how that value, that the token value will accrue. Like for example, your sponsor Rollbit. I've been talking about Rollbit for a long time. I'm not sponsored by Rollbit, but I just like the way that a protocol that generates value continues to put that value back into the token economy. So with Rollbit, and since Rollbit is your sponsor, hopefully they're listening to this, I highly suggest that you guys increase the amount of revenue that you share with your token economy. It's a little bit pathetic, to be honest. I like you guys. I talk about you all the time. It's like 10, 20, and 30% for each of their three products. But like, why not increase that? Like, you guys, the founder of Rollbit, for example, have a big supply of tokens, a big token supply. I'm sure that you have that as founders. Like, just increase that revenue share, and it would even make that pump even more exponential, you know, of the revenue share. So, and I'm not hating on Rollbit. I love Rollbit. Like, I think that everyone that I know uses it loves the interface, cool products. and the revenue share is very good. It keeps what I always like about those kind of things.
Well, that, it's other things though, right? Still, it's still trying to get like what compared to the burn rate that's going on. It's kind of crazy, but yeah. Who knows? I saw the figures they put out yesterday or 2 days ago. It's just like 700 million of or nearly 700 million of DEX, perp DEX volume, perp futures volumes, and that's versus DYDX. It's still a trillion. Like that's kind of crazy that you're already just for one product you're challenging DYDX. But yeah, Rob is interesting. Is there any other coins like you think are undervalued at the moment? I know obviously it's a difficult world to be in, but I know you put out a few things maybe at the start of the year or maybe late last year, but your coins to watch. What maybe we'll go over that a little bit.
So I still really like Banana Gun, and I think they just had an announcement recently. They went to Solana as well. So when you have a technology like this, that for those of you guys who don't know, is a sniper, essentially a sniper bot, a Telegram bot, allows you to also do things like buy and like limit orders on DEXs, and also you can do things like bribe miners to get into. Let's say that you've got, you know, a good example of technology for Banana Gun because it has the fastest, it's the fastest bot out there. A way that people could use it, for example, when it's funny actually, the name of your stream is Wrecked Radio, but when the token Wrecked launched a few months ago, remember that? There was so much hype and attention around this that some guys used Banana Gun to snipe the launch. They were able to buy up like, I think 10 or 15% of the supply when it first launched, the first ones in, right? Just buying up that huge amount of supply because of all the attention. They were able to then, and this is not like a good thing for our industry, but just to demonstrate the power of this utility, they were able to then, within a couple hours, liquidate most of that. And even with paying the miners like 72 ETH or something in bribes to get ahead, they were able to profit nearly $500,000 on that launch. And that just, again, not a good thing for industry, but overall a good demonstration of how efficient this technology is. And they're doing, they're doing, I think by far the largest of any trading bots as far as volumes and revenue. And that's being shared back with token buys. The other day they had a huge green candle and people were like, what the hell's going on? That was a $100,000 market buy that the Banana Gun did with their token. So I like these things that share revenue with the token economy. And another one too is ZeroXL. ZeroXL is really impressive. It allows you to do leverage trading on newly listed tokens, right? So anything that's available on Uniswap, essentially, ZeroXL, so when the next meme coin launches or whatever, and you're feeling bullish on it, you can go 50x long on it when it's at a $30,000 market cap, throw in $5 or $10, super degenerate. But if you just scroll down ZeroXL's Twitter page, you just see like 1,000%, 15,000%, 20,000%, gains on these super degen. Yeah. And I like the way that the dev is approaching this very conservatively. So he wanted to roll out a beta phase over 1,000 and slowly bring on 1,000 users. And so I think that he's rolling it out and selling 100 NFTs every few weeks. And you need an NFT to be able to use a product. And this is how he scales it slowly to make sure that things aren't breaking, to make sure that the liquidity increases within the bot. But very methodically, and like you can imagine that when this thing goes and opens up to mainstream in a bull market, the amount of people that will be sharing their gains of 10,000% gains and, you know, someone threw $5 on a 50x long or 100x long leverage long, you know, on a short, you know, like on a meme coin or whatever, to throw in $5 and bring back, you know, $12,000 or whatever from that, or $2,500 or whatever from that, that's powerful marketing. And so, you know, you just can't do this on these other exchanges that you have to wait for the larger tokens with more volume to get listed. So I like that.
It's weird that stuff hasn't really done that well though, this cycle, like the valuation based on cash flow stuff, like at least for the last few months. That's the stuff that's kind of been left behind. All the trading at a multiple of revenue, even like Unibot has kind of come back a little bit, and Banana, I agree as well. But like the market is more seemingly focused on dreams at the moment. You know, it's like memes and unproven tech, but big promises, rather than this thing's actually making money and looks cheap.
I think that that's the interesting thing about these revenue share things. Like when the market gets more frothy, for example, with Rollbits or 0XL, there'll be more money for people to spend, which means more revenue generated, which means more buybacks and burns. And I always kind of tell people, like, you don't really need to worry about retail buying the Rollbit token because they just buy it themselves. You know what I mean? And so, like, they just eventually just kind of keep pumping the price and diluting and reducing circulating supply. You know, for us, I just made a video, I think last week, about paid Ignition 2.0, our launch pad. You know, we have 100% revenue, essentially revenue put back into the token economy, right? So, like, all the fees that we generate on all the funds that we raise, let's say that in a week we raise, you know, $100 million, and we already have several projects lined up that are going to be raising, you know, doing multi-million dollar raises. And so let's say in a week that we do $50 million in fundraises, that's $5 million in fees that we generate. That $5 million in fees that we generate goes back directly to on the open market to buy up the pay token. So, so again, and people might, you know, I've been thinking about it, like, people might try to front run the opportunity or trade it, you know, and go, oh, like, there's a market buy of incoming because they just did a $3 million raise. So that's going to be, you know, a $300,000 market buy, right? Well, okay, you can go buy the tokens before that market buy comes in and you can sell it on the pump. But when you consecutively have revenue coming in a bull market, we know from last bull market, we did IDOs every single day, you know, five, six days a week. So people who are selling these tokens are eventually going to feel like idiots for selling so low when you just have this constant buy pressure from revenue being generated from a project. So I think that maybe that things have slowed down. You know, we've been very cyclical. We've even seen it on social media, like across the board over the past week or something, since the ETF was kind of boring. People were expecting things to skyrocket. There's just been like a general lack of kind of interest here until the Bitcoin price kind of comes back up again. And then we're going to see, we'll start to see massive inflows. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the meme, like, every time you go to Dex Tools, just memes streaming across the top. And, you know, for a long, these are gambling products, you know? And so is most stuff that we're doing here, but we try to look at things a bit fundamentally. Even when I look at small caps, I try to look at fundamentally strong projects.
Mm. Yeah, so maybe out of those dream stuff, though, like, let's say it is tech rather than, it's still to be unproven. I agree that memes is maybe a difficult thing to, like, to back consistently. But what do you, what about some of the new L1s or L2s or, I don't know, some of the other, which still has that dream element unproven that you think could go far?
Well, okay, so it's funny with Blast and Manta Network, both of them offering native yield. And I like to kind of, this is how things went in my head anyway. It's completely making an assumption, but my guess is that the founder from Blur, and if he's listening, this is wild speculation, right? But probably what happened is probably that they were at Token 2049 or some conference somewhere, and like the guy from Manta, I think his name's Kenny or something, and, you know, meets the guy from Blur, and they're hanging out having a cocktail at one of the side events, and guy from Manta goes, yeah, we were building this cool layer too. It's gonna have native yield. We even have this really cool airdrop scheme coming up where it's gonna be very viral, and then the Blast team goes, interesting, and then he runs back to Polychain and he goes, guess what, I have this great idea for an L2. This is what we should do. And I say that because Manta has the main, like, basically mainnet live already with native yield, and they had this airdrop campaign already planned, which is very similar to Blast decided to come out and beat them to the punch without a product, just a Gnosis multi-sig. And even Polychain themselves said they didn't agree with the way that they came out aggressively and made people, like, lock up all the
paradigm,
stuff.
Paradigm.
Sorry, yeah, paradigm. My apologies. Yeah, paradigm. But regardless of that, anyway, I'd like to, that's maybe likely not what happened, but it just feels like it anyway. But I do think this is an interesting narrative. And a lot of people think about this from the retail perspective. Like, if I have $10,000 of stablecoin just sitting in my wallet, not doing anything, maybe it should be generating some yield passively while it's just sitting in my wallet. When you start thinking about products that we're building, like Commonwealth, for example, right? And for those who high level who aren't familiar with Commonwealth, it's essentially replicating the traditional fund structure. So we're allowing through all smart contracts, fully automated, fully decentralized. But essentially, when a new fund launches, there will be people who are able to contribute stablecoin into a fund. And I imagine that, and then this fund will, through a series of actions, invest in early stage projects the same as other VCs. There'll be a council of VC members who can propose deals to the funds. But I imagine that in a bull market, like in the strong in the bull market, when Commonwealth raises a fund and they see the kind of deal flow that we're getting, we might have $1 billion of essentially AUM in stablecoins sitting in these funds waiting to be deployed into projects. Now, the way that things are today, that $1 billion in stablecoins sitting there waiting to be deployed, maybe over this series. And when I say $1 billion, I imagine that this is why Commonwealth will still be interesting, because hopefully when everything's super frothy at the top of this next bull market, we do raise and people do put their stablecoin into a fund in Commonwealth. And then if the market does inevitably come crashing down like it has in the past, then Commonwealth has this massive war chest of stablecoin to deploy in the best projects over a bear market and puts it in a really amazing position to be. That's like what every fund wants, right? That's why A16Z raised $4.5 billion the second the market crashed to go buy distressed assets and then also invest and should be able to cherry pick good valuations in a bear market. So, but if we have $1 billion sitting there in smart contracts, it'd be nice if it was generating passively 5% a year or something like that, right? And so I think that's a narrative that can be interesting. I think it gets far more interesting when you think about protocols holding value, like I just described, versus just an individual, right? Because an individual, if they want to go put their money into a compound or something, they can do it. And then I think cross-chain is really interesting too. Like account abstraction, chain abstraction. I'm very interested in anyone building in these kind of narratives.
Awesome. We know you used to have an ape PFP. What's your view on like the NFT landscape now? And then like for Ethereum, it was a big thing last cycle. Do you expect it to be a front runner in activity this cycle? And yeah, you know, what are your thoughts on NFTs and like other chains other than just Ethereum?
You know, it's interesting, like the way that things happen, right? I mean, a month ago, everybody you talked to thought Ethereum was dead, right? It was like even I get drawn into it, right? Even I get sucked into the whole like, oh my, and the way that we perceive this, the space perceives tech is like price go up, the tech is amazing. If your price go down, your tech sucks, right? And like, And I made a video a few weeks ago before the ETF was approved. I said like this narrative is going to shift back to Ethereum as soon as Bitcoin ETF is approved, because now we see this Ethereum layer two narrative coming strong again. And I just saw something I post today. I think I didn't look at it, but there's supposed to be some sort of treasure hunt or something that happens next week inside the other side of Yuga Labs. I think that brand is very, very strong. I think that it was just, you know, we've had such little liquidity in the market and we're coming out of a bear market and it's not like we're full into a bull market yet. We haven't even gotten close to all-time highs yet. And so someone said this in a post the other day too, we've been in like this PvP environment, right? It's just been all of us like crypto nerds hanging out with each other, trading against each other. And like, we have so much capital. And so we see new shiny thing over here. And so like, shit, how do I get new shiny thing? Well, I have to look through my bags and see what I can sell, right? And so like new shiny thing, oh, my Bored Ape hasn't sold in a while, but now you have this like new shiny thing on Solana or something like that, or this new NFT collection on, you know, name your new layer one or layer two. And so attention shifts over there, right? But I think that if there's one thing that we've noticed about strong communities is like they still exist and they will come back. You know, so during the bear market, most people thought Solana was dead. I'm guilty of this. I'm not guilty of thinking it was dead, but because of how many outages they had before, I wasn't sure if they were going to make the comeback. Then they had the FTX drama and stuff like this. And then the second there was a sign of life and recovery, it was like everybody who came back that was a Solana fan before became even more of a fan. And then people that like me who were questioning it were converted into a fan of Solana. Like I like to see that kind of them going through a struggle, them continuing to iterate and get better and innovate. And now I'm a big fan of Solana. So I think that when people see that Yuga has been continuing to build, that they see that this other side, they had so much money. Like if they haven't built a sick game, I will be very disappointed. I imagine that they're going to build something very, very good. That brand is very strong. I'm in a couple like private groups on Telegram and WhatsApp. Some people that I really trust, like they think that this is definitely a bottom right now for Yuga and Bored Ape. I haven't sold mine. I don't know that I'm going to buy any more, even though I think that bottom might be in for Bored Apes.
Oh. Yeah.
Feels like it's just me and you now for a little bit. OSF. Yeah. Unfortunately for everyone in the crowd, Kyle seems to have dropped off.
Yeah.
So you're keeping your ape, basically, but you may not buy more.
And not because I don't think that, not because I don't think they're going to go up in value, but I also laugh a little bit. Like, you know, when people, it's funny that the price, that the kind of, the way that people perceive, like, I feel like if NFTs go up 4 or 5x in value, it's like people think that this is like getting 100x altcoin run almost. They're like, oh my God, it's up 5x. But when we look at like altcoins, it's not uncommon to find a nice like microcap gem that does a 10-15x. And to me, it feels like people ascribe the same kind of value appreciation. And that's what I mean. I mean that like, do I think Bored Apes are going to do a 50x from here? Probably not. Do I think they're going to do a, you know, do it? I don't think that they're going to do as much as altcoins. So I just prefer, and also I just know the space better in tokens and fungible tokens versus NFTs. How about you guys? Yeah.
I think we came up really in the NFT run. Like 2021 was, or maybe end of 2020 is when we first kind of came into the space. So we came up in NFTs and then moved progressively into everything else. I would say that it's interesting that now that the NFT market has matured, a lot of it actually feels like, you know, they're kind of a more dampened way of playing like a move in ETH, for example. Like punks have managed to keep their floor, but most other things, they seem to be related to dollar price floor a lot. Only really punks and pudgy penguins. And then there are still new projects which are, you know, can have strong runs, but you know, there's no NFT right now, the 150 floor. So like, and the fact that it's now distilled back into like Bitcoin and Solana has meant that some of the gains have been slightly softer. I would say that Bitcoin, some of the ordinal stuff feels like, you know, if that catches in the right way and you get like ordinal whales moving into that space, you could see some crazy, crazy returns there. But I'm not sure if we'll see that for ETH NFTs, or at least the vast majority of them.
When ordinals came, I got the Bitcoin or the ordinal Pepes or whatever, the NFTs. I hope that they do something.
They're going to zero. They're going to zero. I don't know which ones are going to last. It feels too early still to a lot for a lot of that stuff. So you just don't know.
I think that we're going to get we're largely like, I don't think that PFP NFTs are dead, but I do think that I do think that in order for a PFP NFT to be successful, it needs to be able to become a massive brand. And like I had a call with a project yesterday, I believe it was. I don't know if you guys have heard of this, the Imaginary Ones. These guys have been just on fire with a brand. You know, they like they have 5,000 X subscribers right now. They did, you know, they launched like 2 years ago. They've been doing things with like Hugo Boss, and they've got, I'm not sure if I can share, I just better not, but like big brand collaborations coming up, because they built this like very like happy, yeah, like this one, they built this like, and so they've done all these collaborations with different brands and the same thing. And they're also doing the plushies like Pudgy Penguins, and the plushies are going in like 20, I don't know, it's like 3 or 4,000 different arcades. They haven't got the Walmart deal yet, like Pudgy's did, but I think that these guys are building, if you go to their more like their website, they're building casual games, they're building a big metaverse, and they have, and Hugo Boss decided to double down on the partnership this year with them. So I like that. But I think when it comes to NFTs, I'm much more excited to see how they actually evolve, you know, much farther beyond PFPs. And I think that gaming is obvious. One of the things that I think is investment NFTs are something that, yeah. So this one, imaginary ones, like it's a fun family brand. And like they've even made like kids videos on YouTube. And I could just see this thing going like a Baby Shark or something like that. But for some reason, even like, yeah. And so the Hugo Boss, like the next thing that they're doing is like I hope I can be sharing this stuff.
You can't, because I don't see it anywhere here. So, but I tell us what they're about to.
I guess I won't say what it is.
You've been saved.
Right. But the next one with them, I it probably doesn't matter, but they're aiming for like that young teen kind of age, the teenage age or whatever. But they've been having very, very big success. And so I think that in order, yeah, so there you go. So you can see that they're just huge brands that they're working with. People just love the brand. And I think that that's if you can do a brand like that, then you're going to, you can sell NFTs that are PFPs essentially, because people can have these like collectible items. But what I was saying before is like, investment NFTs are very, very interesting. And you know, that's what we've done at Commonwealth. You think about all the different types of utilities that you can do for it. Like, for example, right now, when you guys invest into a project early stage and you sign a SAFT, right? Like, these SAFTs are so dumb, and they're just essentially, I mean, they work okay in the sense of a legal sense. So you have some sort of legal protection, but even a SAFT itself affords very little legal protection. In fact, that's why people are doing SAFEs plus token warrants these days. But if you're dealing with an honest team, then how much more convenient is it just to sell you an NFT that has the rights to the token distribution later? So your position is able to be liquid from day one, right? So like I buy a position in a project and this is what we did with Commonwealth. Like Commonwealth raised the initial money through the retail by selling NFTs that had tokens assigned to it. And at a certain valuation. And also that NFT, the Genesis NFTs, have lifetime revenue share of the protocol. So like 15% of the entire revenue that's generated by Commonwealth goes back to those NFT holders. So not only did they get to invest at a very good early stage valuation, and they're going to get tokens at TGE and then invest it after that, but also in perpetuity that NFT will have lifetime value based on how much revenue that the protocol, that fund is generating, right? And so I really think that the utility for NFTs in Commonwealth is brilliantly planned out, and it works so well with the token economy. So I think that we'll see, hopefully we'll start to see more people kind of do things like this in a more on-chain way. You know, we did everything on-chain. There was no SAFs, no SAFEs. You know, it's just a very transparent. Huh?
Similar to an investment DAO then.
Yeah, similar to that. Yeah. I'm not sure if investment DAOs have been using NFTs to represent their shares or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah,
I think sometimes there are maybe what prevents people is like securities concerns, and like how do you make that initial sale without it being deemed a securities offering and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And you know, if you're based in the US, it's much more challenging than if you're not. Well,
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that I just think that unfortunately the way to do it is just to block US. And if you want to do it if you're doing it in a fully permissionless, like then you have to try to, like, if you're not, I mean, the only way to truly block US is KYC. So you get into this like really big discrepancy of like, am I in decentralized permissionless Web3, or am I actually permissioned and allowing people yes or no to do something here? And that's where I wish there was more clarity on different things. But if you block US, then you have to worry about this stuff less. And that's just unfortunately the way that things are, until they're the only country that like you really have to be concerned about, right? The other countries may not have clarity and they may deem things securities, but they're certainly not like coming out with Wells notices and enforcement actions and like suing people left and right for everything. You know what I mean? So yeah, I left the US 6 years ago. Never plan on going back. It's a very restricted type of place, you know?
Yeah, I think in crypto, it's weird. I was even saying this to ourselves. It's like, it's so frustrating to constantly feel like you're about to be a criminal if you do the wrong thing, like one small thing. It's like, it's just so annoying to have to live by that sort of world when some of the stuff just feels just like natural to the tech, like you're just trying to add something to a process or something like that. And crypto in the US still seems like a complete disaster to me.
Yeah. And I also think that people, I don't know. I also think that people care a little bit too much about being called a security. Like look back at the history of those who have gotten in trouble for selling securities. EOS, they raised $4 billion. They paid $23 million in fines for not registering and selling a security. You look at everybody else who has essentially like quote unquote sold securities and they really only get in trouble if they're successful, largely because the SEC has to have some sort of reason for spending taxpayer dollars on going after them in court. So they must earn revenue from that kind of court action. So really only if you're successful. So it's kind of like just go for it. And this is, I think it feels like it's dangerous for me to even like be talking like this, But it's the truth. And what has happened so far is that so far people that were successful with their fundraises and their projects, then they became targets of SEC and they said, hey, you sold the registered securities. Okay. So yes, I'm sorry I did. Okay. So let's settle and pay a fine. And then that's what it is. But if you're a startup, things are risky anyway in the early days. Right. And so if you know that it's probably not going to be successful if you go to the SEC and try to have a conversation with them, especially as a startup with very little money, like that path to market is just going to be painfully slow. And there really is no prop. Like, I think the best thing that will happen is when we get some sort of framework where, okay, I'm going to create a utility token. So I'm going to go on the SEC website. I'm going to register. We're going to KYC and it's going to cost me $2,500. Right. And like, I have to like check these boxes. And now I registered a security, like there's some sort of framework. And if it's easy to do, it doesn't cost a lot of money and it doesn't stifle startups and innovation, then I think everybody should do it. And it's a no brainer. Right. But for now, until we have any sort of clarity on the way to a path to do that, people just have to guess and try to limit their consequences.
So let me change gears slightly. Like you mentioned one sector before, which I know is a sector you look at a lot, which is the gaming sector, which a lot of people are saying, you know, that could be the real sustaining path, that and like RWAs maybe this cycle. Like, what are the things you are most excited about in terms of projects there? Like, I know you do a lot of research into small and big projects.
Well, so for games, I think that what I'm most excited about is Gunzilla, or Off the Grid. I think, we were one of the first investors in there. It's also the largest personal check I've ever written in anything. Plus it's the largest check our fund has written in anything. I went to their studio in Germany, got to see the office and them creating the game and how passionate the founders are about it. But the most interesting thing about what Gunzilla is doing with Off the Grid is they're building a game where traditional gamers don't have to ever care about blockchain, and it's never put in their face ever if the gamers don't want to, right? So they can just go download Off the Grid on PlayStation 5 or Xbox and they can play it. And for them, it'll feel like any other game always. All in-game assets, the in-game economy, it stays in-game. There's no wallets created. There's no nothing. It's always just a game. But if they ever want to, if the in-game assets that they acquire, if they ever want to go then connect the wallets on the web and connect their accounts, then they can transfer those assets that they've earned in-game and go sell them on secondary market for cash, unlike every other game in the world so far. Right. And so I like that because it's always been, we saw what happened with Ubisoft when they came and you know, try to announce they're going to do NFTs and stuff. But there was severe backlash. And so this is a game where you have a team that has successfully shipped games that have, I think, in the revenue of billions of dollars. They know what they're doing. You've got Neil Blomkamp producing it, who, you know, most recently produced the Gran Turismo movie. He did District 9. He did Elysium. Huge fan base coming over from Neil Blomkamp. Like, this is a properly done AAA game where, when I speak to the founders, they really believe that they're going to compete with things like PUBG and Fortnite. And so, and the cool thing is that you have everything in the back end is synced to the blockchain. So the in-game economy that you're seeing in the game, the amount of tokens, the amount of in-game assets, that every transaction that's happening in the game is actually syncing on their own Avalanche subnet. So every time that a player is playing on Xbox needs some tokens to pay to decrypt what they have, they're basically their loot boxes, right? So you might be running around a game, you might find a loot box, and you need one of these like hackers to decrypt it or something for you. So the hackers are NFT validators, and they can do NFT validators. But everything that happens in the game, so all the demand for the tokens, everything like that creates real life demand for tokens on chain. And so I think that what they've done is very, very, very original. And it's probably going to be a model moving forward for people who build games. At least while we have this, it'll take time for people to understand that it's not so different to have a Web3 game as a traditional game. The only difference is that you have the ability to take your assets with you, right? Like that's what we're saying from a gaming perspective. There's a lot of hate and pushback because of the way that our industry has been perceived. But that eventually will shift. And I think that eventually Xbox and PlayStation will allow Web3 connectivity. And I think that, you know, eventually this will all be kind of much more seamless. But in the interim, you know, we all wonder what is going to be that killer app that actually goes mainstream, that has like blockchain integration. It might be Off the Grid.
Wanted to ask you, Carl, a bit more about like your history and you know, how did you get into investing? Like, what were you doing before that? How did you first discover crypto and get into this world, etc.? I'm always curious to hear like people's origin stories, if you like.
Sure. Yeah. So I've always, like, growing up as an American, and someone who'd like to travel a lot. Yeah, it's in the comments too. Yeah, Block Lords is actually coming out too on Monday, which I'm very bullish on. Also, advisor there. Also heard that they're going to have a big exchange listing Monday, so that's exciting. So
a little bit alpha there.
Yeah,
loves it. Carl loves it.
Yeah, and if you guys go play, yeah, you can download Block Lords on the Epic Game Store now. And if you go play the game, like if you have the weekend, just go play the weekend. Get yourself some heroes, get yourself some of these NFTs, and you're gonna get an airdrop probably on Monday, and it won't be worth nothing either. So, anyway, so the kind of crypto origin story is a friend of mine told me about Silk Road back in 2012, and I think that, you know, most people that knew about Bitcoin back then were like, they may or may not tell you that Silk Road was their kind of like discovery, but everybody that was like in Bitcoin back then knew about Silk Road. So like, if anybody was around back then and they didn't at least know about it, is just leaving that out because, you know, for obvious reasons. But that is how it was brought to my attention. And at that time in 2012, it was more of just a fascination for me, not Bitcoin specifically, not Silk Road specifically, but like the dark web and all encompassing of what the hell I was looking at. Like, what? I could just go log into the internet, download the Tor browser, and all of a sudden I had this huge like eBay full of illegal goods, and this was happening all in the open, and this currency that was allowing the thing to happen was Bitcoin. Like, what is going on here? And how is this thing not shut down? And what is a decentralized web? And what is the onion router? And what is Bitcoin? And So it was just more fascination there. It was really 2013 when I learned about what happened with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, because I was at that point really, really like I've always been a fan of like truth, discovery, disclosure, and you know, like someone that was also very interested in conspiracy theories growing up, and you know, there's always some degree of truth to most of these things, and I mean, come on, 9/11, and you know, all these kind of, these kind of events.
Oh, such a huge conspiracy theory guy.
They're all real. They're all true.
they all are true, man. And you know, and if they weren't, then just come out with some sort of proof to like just, you know what I mean. But so I've been always super fascinated by these things, and I think guys like Julian Assange and Edward Snowden and these guys are heroes, right? Like that's how I view them. I think that they are absolutely heroes. And so when, and also the professionalism from Julian Assange, right? Like he didn't decide to go, he got a hold of like 60,000 pages of super classified documents that were of the most horrendous and shitty things that a government can do to bully other people around and do these kind of things, right? And he had a responsibility to responsibly leak these documents because there was active spies still running around. There was active people's lives who could be in danger if their names were leaked on these documents or identities or active missions still in progress, right? And so he had to hire a bunch of staff to help him sift through all these documents to release them. And WikiLeaks relied on donations. And always what historically had happened did happen. The US government decided to put pressure on all of the payment gateways to stop allowing payments to come in. So MasterCard, Visa, PayPal, Western Union, you know, banks, Swift, everything, nothing. Like WikiLeaks could not get money anymore. And so someone was like, hey, check out Bitcoin. You should accept Bitcoin. And Julian's like, what is this? Okay, like let's take Bitcoin. So they did. And then all of a sudden, they were able to continue operations, right? And then do their job. That was the aha moment for me where I just thought like Bitcoin is going to be super powerful. And this allows us as individuals, because my perception before being from the United States and never being a voter is like, we as individuals do not have the power to do anything in the United States, right? Like I grew up in California, which was a blue state. So even if I liked a Republican candidate, like it wouldn't matter if I went and voted anyway, because it's always just an electoral college. It's a you know, Democratic vote. And so I was looking for something that could help change the world, and that's when the kind of like aha moment came. And I'm like, so then I went full time in crypto in 2013. I sold my company, which was in regenerative medicine and anti-aging before, like stem cells, longevity, and bought Bitcoin with it. I started the world's first Bitcoin lottery called the World Super Lotto in 2013, and that was just that was my first entry into it. And I've been building, advising, investing ever since. And so 2013 was when I sold all my fiat, sold the company, bought Bitcoin. And then since then I've invested in things like, you know, I was able to get early access through Bank to the Future, Simon Dixon's company. I don't know if you guys know that. And then I was able to invest in things like Coinbase, Kraken, Ripple, Circle, Abra, Securitize, these big things. And that was really like, that was amazing for me. And that ability to invest through Bank to the Future was kind of the inspiration behind like Commonwealth and Paid Network, the things that I've got for me now. So, so yeah, that was my investing. And then eventually in late 2017, started Master Ventures, and now we do a bunch of different things.
That's amazing. That's pretty impressive journey. And it's good to get those early wins so you can like keep rolling the dice into all this new stuff, which then becomes the wins of today and you know, keep that train going basically.
And I'll tell you what, man.
That's wild. Like you can invest in a bunch of different of those. Basically, they're all, it must have all been like 100x's, some of those trades.
Yeah, I think like Kraken right now is, I think, because I invest in Kraken too. I think it's up 20,000% or something. So, so, and that's why, And that's why Commonwealth is going to be so powerful, right? Because up until, like, in order to participate in Bank to the Future, you have to be accredited, you have to be wealthy, you have to have access. Commonwealth is letting anybody, any retail member, go and invest in these kind of early stage opportunities. But I'll tell you, like, I've been, ever since in 2013, after I saw the WikiLeaks thing and dug into the Bitcoin white paper, I was pretty sure that that Bitcoin would become adopted on the mainstream one day, right? But maybe in 2013, I was maybe 25% certain that it would happen. And then I think every year that progressed after that, you know, maybe it was an additional like 10% after that, right? Until a few years ago when I was almost damn certain. And then to see this ETF get approved and now to see it talked about on the main stage and on the front page of BlackRock and Fidelity and everything, it's mind blowing for me, someone who's been in this space for, it'll be 12 years in April, to actually see this happen. And I think people also forget that, like, how big this industry is going to become. It's called Web3 for a reason. Like, it is literally the infrastructure of the internet that we're building, right? And like, chains will be invisible in the future, and just like TCP/IP is invisible today, like, people won't have to worry about what chain things are on. They'll just have like wallets that connect seamlessly, or all apps will have like account abstraction wallets built in. And eventually this is just going to be the thing that runs in the background, and everyone's just gonna know, like, this is like blockchain, right? As Web3. So
awesome. Well, Carl, thanks for so much for coming on. Like, it's an incredible story, and it's cool to hear about all these like super early wins that you had that have kind of like built the stuff that you're doing today. And especially all the we've both, Manuel, shared similar views on all the altcoins and stuff. So I'll be curious to see if you know, if that stuff plays out, given we're still quite early in the cycle, and maybe it'll just take a few months for people to get smart to it. But I'll end it with a question we always ask all our guests, which is advice, much needed advice for all of our listeners. And the question is, what's your best advice on not to get wrecked? How not to get wrecked?
I think that embracing the fact that you're going to get wrecked is the best path to getting wrecked, the least wrecked. I don't know anybody who's been in the space longer than a year who hasn't been wrecked in a serious way somehow. And so I think that starting slow and cautious, you know, not going all in at 100% on anything. You know, like, if you're doing leverage trading, make sure it's a 1-3% of your portfolio. If you're buying shit coins, very small percent of your portfolio. And also, what you're getting used to, OPSEC or operational security, crypto security, like, you're gonna become the victim of a scam at some point. You're gonna become a victim of a rug pull. You're gonna buy a meme that goes to zero, like, and your best friend's gonna steal your private keys at some point, probably, or something. Like, these kind of stories happen to everybody. And so, I think starting small and really taking the right steps to learn, I think that, like, you know. Yeah, I say that embrace getting wrecked, because every time that you do, you learn from it. And if you don't learn, shame on you. You deserve to get wrecked again. But we all do it. And so I think that's just understand that's part of the game. And hopefully when you do get wrecked, it's a very small percentage of your net worth.
Yeah, yeah. I think you need to get wrecked 100%. Look, we at the end of the show, we do these loot box spins where we gave away like $30,000 last week. If you want to stick around for that, you can. I know you're a busy person, it's late for you, so you can also leave. The final code for us today is, what is it actually? Is it always wrecked 11? People are waiting for the code, always wrecked 11. We're going to do these loot box spins, but it's been really, really great speaking to you, Kyle. There's various different ways. Do you actually want to describe where everyone can find you? I know you're like various different
forms. Yeah, so I think you can just search my name. So on X, it's at Kyle_CHASSE. And then on YouTube, it's Kyle Chasse Crypto. And I talk about just basically the things that we're doing, the narratives, lots of alpha in there. I also have... Yeah, if you go to my YouTube, you'll see how you can get in kind of our VVIP group, where we drop all kinds of trading signals and private sale invites and things like that too. So But guys, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. And also, I know the question of this, or the topic was like, how are we at the Bitcoin top? I know we didn't get to talk about that, but that's okay, because if anyone goes to my YouTube channel, in a couple hours, we'll have today's video will be live. That's exactly what I'm talking about in the video today. We go into exactly why the ETF hasn't sent us the moon yet, and also an insane low cap gem that we found that people will blow people's minds. So if you guys go watch on YouTube, enjoy.
Oh, he's gone. Sorry, Gary Gensler took him off at the end there. yeah, that was a takeout right there. It was good to have him on.
That was a good one.
I'm getting destroyed in the comments about that show. I've been destroyed today. I'm turning down the lights, lads. I understand it was a little bit bright on me today. OSF could barely keep it together, I think. we were both looking at each other, just seeing the comments come in.
Where have all these people come from? Like, we used to get like 5 comments every show. Now it's just like a comment every second.
Come in, and it's like the people who do not give a single shit about crypto, but they want the Robin codes, and they come in and they just destroy us every single week. It doesn't help, you know, the style looked slightly like David Hasselhoff. OSF's cut off his beard, and I look like a shiny motherfucker this week. We were easy targets, I feel like. Right, well, let's get started with these spins.
Let's do these spins.
It was great to have Carl on there, but yeah, I think he's like at 12 p.m. where he is. I think he's fully out of the reaches of Gaza. So don't know where he is.
Yeah, you have a few seconds to retweet the pinned tweet on the Wrecked Radio account if you want to participate in this loot box.
Did I just win? Did I just see myself win?
No.
Oh wow. Yeah,
we got a wreck guy on there.
Oh, we know some people who've won here. What?
All right.
Let's have a look at this first. Who is What Is Web For? That just sounds like a bot.
So if we call out your name, please request to speak. If we don't call out your name, please don't request to speak.
Yeah. So the winners this week are What Is Web For, Felix Crypto, Rec Guy, and L Chain Mikey.
That's Bell X, I think, the second one.
Sorry, my eyesight. Yeah, Bellex. Bellex underscore crypto. L-Chain Mikey. And then we have... What is Web4? If they don't turn up, Pentagon, War, SP, and Expressive Code. So, but we'll see who turns up.
Right, I see Pentagon there.
Yeah, but we'll wait. We'll wait on that.
Yeah, let's see. What is Web4? Bellex, L-Chain Mikey.
What is Web4? Bellex is still not here, and L Chain Mikey is still not here.
All right, should we bring up?
We'll give it another minute or another 30 seconds. We're looking for Bellex Crypto and L Chain Mikey.
I think we bring up Pentagon, right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you've been lost. So Pentagon comes up.
And then Expressive Code. Oh, L Chain Mikey. I see L Chain Mikey. All right, sweet. We got 3 of them.
It's a shame for Bellex being a rec guy, but you needed to turn up on time. Yeah. Anyway, let me go find the Rollbit loot boxes.
Right. So the order is What Is Web4, then L Chain Mikey, then Pentagon Wars.
Wars. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Hold on.
Okay. Let me share the screen. Oh, we've been loaded up with 30 grand to get this going. Oh shit. I don't know if I can do that. Google Chrome, yeah. Okay, it's a new PC. I'm having slight technical issues. Right. Can you guys see me share my screen or not?
I don't see it yet.
What about now?
Yeah. I see it.
All right. So who are we going with first? Who's first?
What is Web4 is first.
What is Web4? What is Web4? We're about to find out. Oh no. Oh God. All right, we could be here for a while, no. Lads. We could be here for a while. Oh, Seth. Yeah, you're gonna have to keep the crowd interested for a little bit. Resend verification email.
Christ. I see Bellex has turned up, but
yeah, well, that's a shame, Bellex.
Yeah.
That's not bad. But you know, if you're not listening to the show, do you deserve
I think they had some issues with spaces rugging, but I don't really
I'm not receiving that email yet. Yeah. We're not.
We can maybe roll them to next week. We'll figure it out.
I'm not getting the email that allows me to log into a recognized device. I don't know why I'm not receiving that yet. Let me double check. Let me stop sharing and then look at what we've got. Should just go to my normal address. I bet it's gone to junk. Hold on. Hold on. For sure, this one's gone to junk. Oh, no, not even gone to junk. Fuck.
Is it the one that goes to like my email address?
No, it's not.
Oh, actually, hold on, we're going. We
passed it. I don't even know how. So the keeper returns there. Is it right? The keeper returns is selling for.
You just share your screen again, by the way.
Oh shit! Sorry. Sorry about that. But somebody won fuck cash grabs. But look at how close it was to the keeper returns. Like the next thing was the keeper returns.
Oh, wow.
242k. Is that right? That is
that feels wrong. Yeah.
Right.
I hope someone doesn't win that.
Somebody is literally, if that had sold, that would have been one of the greatest sales of all time. 242k for the keeper returns. It was like, it was just off. Okay, so then we go again. Sorry for that, as always, technical difficulties. Who is second in our list?
So next is L-Chain Mikey.
L-Chain Mikey, here we go. Insufficient balance.
Ooh.
Now I'm confused. Did I just spend all that?
Go to
Or maybe I've logged into my other account. What is this? No, this is the right account. We have two accounts, one for me, one for Canary Labs. But this should be the one. The Robot team, are you?
He said try a hard refresh.
Hard refresh. What does that mean?
Just refresh the screen, I guess. Yeah. He's going to fix it now.
So our money works on Robert.
Yeah.
Should I log out? Log back in?
Nope. He said they said they're fixing it, so I think you just need to...
Okay, cool. Probably just like... desperately trying to get rid of the keeper returns right now.
It sounds like someone rugged it, like they delisted it or something like that, and then it auto the price. Yeah,
that would have been one of the wildest sales of all time. So yeah, what do you think of Kyle? I feel like you could have been Kyle. I feel like ended up on a beach somewhere.
Another life,
for sure.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay, we've started with six, so we'll try again now.
Remember to share your screen again, by the way.
Is it not? I am sharing.
All right, now I see it, yeah.
But it's not having the...
Okay, they said we should be good now.
Let me find the loot box link. Have you got the loot box link? It seems to have gone away.
It's in the Telegram chat. You see it, or do you want me to send it to you now? Yeah, I'll
put it on your website. As always, a shambles. Thank you. Okay. So this is for the third one or the second one now?
This is the second one, I believe.
Second one. All right. Here we go. All right. Someone won a robot. One and a half K.
Nice. Dude, that was like, for L-Chain Mikey.
L-Chain Mikey, well done. This is now updated to a pretty wild one, actually. Look at this. We've got some pretty good prizes in here if this one of these hits.
Oh, did you spin an old loot box or something?
I don't know.
Man. I know, maybe not. I think you're fine.
It feels different, but...
All right. So this one is for... This is for Pentagon Wars.
Not a big week for us. Not a big week for us this week. You want a robot, which is one grand. I wonder if they'll let us play once more for the for Balex if he's in the crowd.
Yeah, we can either do that now or roll it to next week. Let's see.
Let's ask Balex is still here.
Balex has requested. I see Balex has requested.
Let's see.
Let me just tell them we had one person, Balex, who had Twitter issues with requesting. Can roll to next week or do another spin? ? Let's do another. Let's do another. All right, Balex.
Loves it.
Add speaker, Balex.
Here he is. This feels, wow, pudgies, man. Some of the rare pudgies. 129 grand for a rare pudgy. Okay.
All right. Good luck. Good luck, Balex. Let's get everyone here. Balex.
Come on.
All right.
Okay. Hey,
hey, man. Oh, fuck. Someone
Nice. Doodles. Oh, right, Nakamigos, not Doodles.
Nakamigos right there. 13 grand for that Nakamigo. It's one of the super rare ones. Very close to winning a Bored Ape there for 70 grand. But that's a much bigger win. We are very, very glad with that. Brett guy wins at the end as well. Okay.
Let's go.
Congrats, man.
Hey, appreciate it, guys.
I enjoyed this week, actually. It was a good one. I actually just laughed the whole time because we were getting destroyed so badly in the comments. If you are looking to have a fun time, just go into the Rec Radio comments on YouTube. We pretty much just get destroyed every single week on those. But good to have him on. I think next week, who have we got next week? Oh, I think we have Bold Leonidas coming on next week, the artist extraordinaire that's blown up over the last year and obviously does Mando Minutes with me. So I think he's going to be coming on the show out of Australia. But yeah, KBM should be back. We will see you guys all next week for that show.
Okay. All right. Peace.